This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, November 10th, 2021, The Memorial of Pope St. Leo the Great, by Father William Doc Holliday.
But who do you say that I am?
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
The first reading from the book of Sirach this evening. This scribe speaks of embarking on his ministry to proclaim the word of God to his people. It started in verse 6 of chapter 39. The first five verses speak of how he lays the foundation to perform this function of spreading God's word to his people. In verses 1 to 6, not going to read them, but in a nutshell, or 1 through 5, in a nutshell, it speaks of the threefold preparation that the prophet makes. Is a threefold division that proclaims the duty of any scribe, anyone who's going to proclaim the name of God, preacher, evangelist, you in your own families, you for your own soul. The threefold duty is to approach the scriptures. The threefold division of the scriptures of which the prophet speaks, the law, the prophets, and wisdom. This is, if you ever dabble into the Jewish religion, you will see the word for their scriptures, the Tanakh, that is an acronym for the law, the prophets, and the wisdom. It is what the Jews have always looked toward to be the foundation of their faith. We, as the new Israel of God, have to do the same thing. We just have the New Testament upon which to build a further foundation. The duty is, however, to pay very close attention to the law, the prophets, and the wisdom writings. The reason for this is because when we understand that, why do we know one thing about God? Why do we know anything about ourselves, salvation? It's because he is a God of revelation. He is a God who has revealed himself to us. He has not revealed himself to us in an abstract, subjective way where he, through his Holy Spirit, deals with each and every one of us individually and we have to figure something out. He is a God of order. He does not work like that. So he has revealed himself in the way that people can understand. Through his word written, true wisdom comes from listening to what God says about himself. And in the order of the way the scribe, the prophet, speaks of this study of scripture and laying the foundation is that true wisdom comes primarily from the law of God. You look at the acronym Tanakh, the law, the prophets, and wisdom. Both the prophets and wisdom expound on the law. The writings of all of Scripture expound on how God has revealed himself, we're talking about on Sunday, if you were here, that the law is binding on all on the face of this planet. The law is what our Lord Jesus Christ says, I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. It is an absolute necessity that we know the law of God, and not just in its summary, but in its totality, as limited as it is when he puts it down in Codex as the Ten Commandments. God provides this because, as I said on Sunday, he loves us. He loves us and he wants what's good for us. God is the source of all wisdom. So when we look at the writings of Scripture, we need to look at it through these three lenses. The law, what the prophets have said about the law as it is fulfilled, coming to fruition in the greatest of prophets, our Lord Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of the law, and then the wisdom of those whom he has called to expound and spread that faith. But it all starts, no matter how simple your ministry may be, to yourself maybe, or to be a priest or a very authoritative cleric in the Catholic Church, is to found everything you do and say on Scripture, the law, the prophets, and the wisdom of Scripture. Not fads, not the latest view of the world on things, whether they like or dislike it, but on what God has revealed about himself. Understanding this, the scribe approaches the Scriptures to prepare himself for his mission, and he starts out by purging himself of sin through contrite prayer. We say, when you read the Scriptures, you must start by praying. You must, as you're going through it, if you hit a place that's hard, as opposed to closing the book and being frustrated, or maybe just feeling frustrated, as soon as that happens, you should pray that the Lord would enlighten you. He may or he may not at that particular time. But after you get done reading, you should also pray. I'm not talking about some long, flowery liturgical prayer. I mean, if you were prone to do that, that's all well and good. But at the end of the day, Lord, help me out with this. Me, that could be that succinct. As long as it's heartfelt and you truly mean what you're saying, the Lord will help you out with that. But then as you hit those parts, be specific. I don't understand this. I don't understand that. You know, like I said, it might not be a bolt from the blue epiphany, sort of a revelation as to what the answer to your prayer. I can guarantee you, within a short while, you'll hear something in a homily. You will read some commentary. You will see something online, and it will explain what you are wondering about. This is how God works. The Word of God does not change. It is inerrant and it is infallible, and the church has given her interpretation of it already. So as soon as you hear someone say, well, we, you know, to the best case scenario, well, we look at that portion of Scripture differently, which you hear all the time anymore. And to the worst case scenario, we don't believe that anymore, which came from the mouth of a cleric in a seminary. You just shake your head, just wag your head and walk away. And I would actually say, pray for that person that would say something like that, because it's untrue. The Scriptures are infallible and they are inerrant. And if you start changing up what you used to say they mean, or you say you don't believe it, they're not infallible and inerrant. And our church teaches us unequivocally that they are infallible and inerrant. They are the Word of God. The traditions of the church have given us the Scriptures. This is where, again, you get all this integration between what God says about himself and the Holy Spirit's move through other people to interpret that when it needs to be interpreted. Because Scripture is what they refer to, we refer to, as perspicuous. Dazzle your friends with that word, perspicuity of Scripture. It means it's clear. It means it's clear. That whole thing, what is it, several years ago, the book that got, actually made it a movie that was bad. It was a bad book. It was bad. The Da Vinci Code. God doesn't talk to us in code. He doesn't talk to us in code. He makes everything crystalline. Are there parts of Scripture that, I don't get that. Well, you're not a Jew that lived 3,000 years ago, so you probably wouldn't. That's no big deal. That everything that's necessary for our salvation is very, very crystal clear. Like our Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me. How many times do you hear the tap dancing around that anymore? The words of our Lord, how many times do I stand up here and point out, yeah, this part of Scripture was left out? I always get a kick out of the revelation when I always point that out every 3 years when it comes up in the readings. Guess what they left out of Scripture? A verse in Scripture that said, if you leave anything out, you are anathema, cursed. Damn to hell. Okay. That's a bold guy who sat in the desk and said, oh, no, we don't need that part. Okay. On you. But Scripture is clear. So, you know, I don't understand it. If you had a six-year-old, a book about geometry, guess what? They're not going to understand. What happens? You teach them. You got to start somewhere. This is how we should approach Scripture. Why on earth is anybody? I read it cover to cover and I don't get it. Praise God, you read it cover to cover, but you're not supposed to get it. After you've read it 100 times cover to cover, guess what? You're still not going to get it, but you will understand more and more and more about it. This, because we glean all kinds of things for Scripture that are not, although it is perspicuous, there are things that we believe from Scripture that aren't your Protestant friends. Chapter and verse me on that. As soon as you hear somebody say that, flee. You don't chapter and verse anything. You don't pick a chapter or verse of Scripture and try to make your point. The Scriptures must make your point. Throw it out. Chapter and verse me. Look at them back. Chapter and verse me on the Trinity. The word's not there. That's implicit in Scripture. Yes, it is. That's why we believe it. But it's still Scripture. But you got that's the best case scenario. Worst case scenario, you get your oneness Pentecostals who say, you don't believe in the Trinity because that word is not in the Bible. I've heard it time and time again from them. That word is not in the Bible, so you cannot believe it. That's why they're Unitarians. They don't believe in the Trinity because that word's not in the Bible. The Trinity is the Bible from cover to cover. St. Leo the Great, who we venerate today on his feast. St. Leo the Great, he emphasized first and foremost the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Guess what? Here's another word that's not in the Scriptures, not once, incarnation. But how do we know we're going to heaven? Because God became incarnate. He became man. Implicit, but nonetheless true, absolutely scriptural. This is the foundation of Scripture, because to whom is our Lord Jesus speaking? His apostles? You know, and he hangs around and he has been confronted and he has confuted at every turn the scribes, the Pharisees, the doctors of the law, every single one. They all knew the Scriptures. They'd all read them time and time again, but they didn't let them speak their truth. They got very dotting I's and crossing T's. They did not look at what was said implicitly within the Scriptures. They didn't even look at what was said explicitly in the Scriptures. Nothing good comes from Nazareth. Oh, really? Why didn't you just ask a couple questions of where our Lord came from? This is what we need to understand. This is how you are able to answer the questions. Because Simon Peter is asked, they're all asked, who do men say that I am? And Simon Peter answers, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do the Scriptures speak of a Christ? Do they show what he's going to do, what he is going to say? It shows all of those things, and it is implicit that he will be the Son of God. This day I have begotten you, as it says in the Psalms. So we have all these things going on in Scripture. So if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, when Jesus Christ comes up on the scene, you put two and two together. Again, the Pharisees, the doctors of the law, the scribes, they're missing it completely. The simple fisherman, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. You didn't get it from a book. You know the writings, not as well as the other guys do, but you know the writings, and you see what I've done, and the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes to the truth that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. Everything that Simon Peter says is scriptural, not explicitly, not the other apostles, come on, Peter, chapter and verse me on that one. No, you don't chapter and verse. You read the Scriptures, you let them speak to you, and when the Holy Spirit works, the Holy Spirit told me to interpret it this way. No, he never contradicts himself. The Holy Spirit has spoken to the church and given interpretations. You just have to work how it practically applies to your life. And that's not coming up with a new interpretation of something. This is the importance of Scripture. It makes us answer questions in a right way when things might not be explicit. This is growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father in heaven will reveal these things to you. This is the reality. This is Saint Leo the Great. Again, he was a man who did exactly what the prophet did. He read the Scriptures and he defended to his dying breath the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ that so many who knew the Scriptures were denying. In the name of the Father and Son and of the Holy Ghost.